The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. Jesus said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the Spirit submits you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Holy God, we know that you're all-powerful. We know that you give your angels the power to protect us. As we gather today, send us again your Holy Spirit, that we might hear your word and know your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Siblings in Christ, I greet you. With grace and peace from God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Okay, there's a change in the program. I'm not Pastor Pam. I have to say that every time. Sooner or later, you're going to figure it out. She is 36 hours away from turning in the first draft of the final chapter of her dissertation. It's been a long couple of weeks, so she's home writing ferociously. And also getting extensive dog therapy. So, St. Michael and the angels. I think sometimes Lutherans don't talk a lot about angels. We also don't talk too much about the devil. Luther had something to say about the devil, because Luther believed the devil was a very real presence in our world. And in his book, his tabletop book, Luther says, at night the devil would come to me and tempt me and torment me in my sleep, and I would chase him away with a fart. That's what Luther said. Not me, that's Luther. My wife's convinced that's what our dogs do at night, but that's another story. There is a struggle in the texts for today, these wonderful texts that talk about how God delivers us from the powers of sin, death, and the devil, from the powers of evil. There's this wonderful struggle because we know that we are delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. We know that by the power of the cross we are set free. We know, as Luther says in A Mighty Fortress, that the kingdom of heaven is ours forever. But as Lutherans, we live in the reality that has not yet come to pass. It's kind of like, you know the outcome, you know the final score, you know who's going to win, but you got to sit through the game. And so as I was thinking about that, I'm wondering, what can these texts tell us as the people of God? And I think the first thing that's important is these texts remind us that there are angels in our world. Some of our most powerful moments in ministry start out with a few words. The words are always this: Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but. And I say, try me. The first one I remember was a woman who had a heart attack. And as she had a heart attack, as she was sitting in the back of the ambulance, she said she was praying. And she said not only was the paramedic back there with her, but there was an angel watching over her and protecting her. I've learned not to tell people when they say that they're crazy. She believed it, and I believe it too. I had another gentleman. When I was doing hospice, we were very concerned because he and his mother were very close. And she died. And I got the cage and I went running. And I got to the room expecting to see this man broken down and crying. And there was this incredible look of peace on his face. And he said, "Chaplain, you're not going to believe this." He said, "As my mother died, I saw two angels come through the window. They put their arms under her, they scooped her up, and they carried her off to heaven." And another lady, little old Italian who didn't speak any English. I got to her room, her great-granddaughter was there, and I heard, "Padre, padre, padre, padre." And she went into great detail to describe how Jesus came, manifested himself as the Sacred Heart, and told her, "When the angels come, go with them." And then Mary came and pointed to the door and said, "When the angels come, go with them." And she looked at the door and she saw the angels. They were motioning her to come, and standing between them was her ex-husband. And she said, "You jerk, I'm not going anywhere with you." Now, the irony and the beauty of the story is that she stayed in that same room for 3 weeks and she didn't go anywhere. She wasn't eating, she wasn't drinking, she should not have been alive. And we had to move her. She was in a place where she needed to move because of all the fun red tape. We brought her to a nursing home, they put her in her room, they sat her down, they laid her in bed, the nurse walked out and came back, and guess what? She was dead. Yeah. The family said he couldn't find her. Angels are real in our world. And if you stop and think about it, think about all the times that an angel has intersected you in your life. I remember Buffalo, South Dakota, in the middle of the Badlands, in a broken down car with a little bitty toddler who's not going to be named. It was hot and it was miserable. We got picked up. This was before cell phones. Brought into the town. There was a motel. There was a mechanic. There was an honest mechanic, and the car was fixed for very little money. Angels among us. And I think a part of the conversation about angels is for us as the people of God to remember not only one to look for those around us who are angels, who are doing the work of God, who are the hands and the feet and the heart and the voice of God, but to remember that as God's people, we are called to be those angels in the world, to go out and to do what God asks us to do, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to listen to the homeless, to people in pain, to be that presence of God to one another. It's a tough job. It's a difficult job. It is something we are called to do. And it's something that we do very well here. When we get done with church, there's a whole bunch of cake. My favorite part, almost. But it's because we've had funerals, and when we have funerals, what do? We make cake and we make salad. And there were some leftovers, so we get to share today. Come in on a Thursday. Watch the ministry of the food pantry. Open your hearts in prayer, because this afternoon, when the Southwest Conference meets, we're going to talk about the house, the annex, the empty building. We're going to talk about refugees from another country fleeing to the U.S. for a better life. We're going to see if together as the people of God, we can find a way to bring them here, to support them, and to strengthen them. And that's not going to take one. It's going to take a family, a congregation, and a community. And we have the resources. What we need is the will. And one of the reasons we need to be powerful voices of God in the community is because the powers of sin, death, and the devil, they're still out there. They're still fighting what we do. They're very real. One of the things I missed about not doing hospice in Milwaukee is that, how can I say this nicely? It was a more diverse area. And I ministered to people across all faith traditions. And more than once, I got called to the home of an African-American family. And they said, Chaplain, we need help. I said, what's wrong? They said, we feel the presence of evil in this house. As someone they loved was approaching death, they felt that presence of evil, of the devil. And together, we surrounded the person dying in prayer. And we called out the powers of evil, the forces of sin, death, and the devil, and we asked them to leave that room, to leave that person in peace and the peace that God gave them. And it happened. It happened. You could feel the veil lifted. I had another lady, Mrs. White. Oh, she was delightful. She loved the psalms, she loved the prayers, she even loved my singing. She wasn't demented. And I'll never forget as she lay near death, she woke up and she said, Pastor, I have a problem. I said, what is that? She said, I keep going down the tunnel to the light. And when I get to the light, two men ask me if my name is in the book and I don't know what to do, so I come back. The book from Daniel. And I realize now that the devil was just giving her that little hope, that little cry to say your faith is not strong enough, you need to doubt. But then God gave the voice of the angel. And I said, oh my, your name is written in the book of life. You are one of God's beloved children. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Tell them that your name is in the book and you are a child of God. Less than 24 hours later, the woman died. Those forces of the devil, they poke and they prod, they send doubt into our lives. You know, when we're doing a good thing, they're the ones that when we see someone who asks for money for a meal, puts that little doubt in our head that says, oh, they're just going to use that money for something else. Oh, you can't really feed them. If you feed them, you've got to feed everybody. You can't afford to feed everybody. That's the devil. That's the way that the forces of evil, the devil, sin, and death kind of weave into our lives. They cast doubt so that when we do the kingdom work of God, when we do what God asks us to do, when we are the people of God, when we are welcoming, when we are accepting, when we are loving, that voice of doubt is there, trying, tempting, attempting to turn us from faith to doubt. But those gathered here today, those of you who share the vision of the gospel, who know the love of Jesus Christ, those of you gathered here today who have come to worship, come to listen, who have come to share in the meal that God gives to all, know this, the power of God is strong in this place. It's strong in your lives. For those of you who were here last Sunday afternoon, as the hymns played, as the voices were raised, the roof came pretty close to coming off. It was an incredible experience of worship. There's a couple snippets of it on the church website and the podcast. If you really want to hear the devils, listen to the Mighty Fortress. Listen to verse 3, organ alone. The hordes of devils filled the land while threatening to devour us. They can't have my head and went out of my head, but you know it. But listen, because as you listen, you can hear. And again, people of God, you are powerful. You are loved. There is nothing that you cannot do because you are held in the power and the love of God. The powers of sin, death, and the devil will not come near you, because through the waters of baptism, through the meal of bread and wine, body and blood, God has protected you. God has protected you to be God's hands and feet and voice in the world. Go and do what you are called to do. Do it with the power and the strength of the one who conquers death, Jesus Christ our Lord.